Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this morning we're going to look at the first four verses as we now embark on a new chapter. And Paul begins to bring everything to a climax as he's been talking about the subject of wisdom. But as he began that subject, he talked about the problem of division that they were having in the church. Some were saying, "I'm of Paul." Others were saying, "I'm of Apollos." And that certainly created division in the church. Notice beginning at verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not mere men?" There is only one category of Christians. Some argue for two, because in this text I just read to you, it mentions spiritual, it mentions carnal. And they say, well, that refers to two categories of Christians. Many years ago, Campus Crusade for Christ put out a tract that was called The Spirit-Filled Life. And in that tract, they mentioned three categories of people. The natural, which is the unsaved, the spiritual, which is the saved and spirit-filled, and then the carnal. And the carnal was referring to those who are fleshly, those who are disobedient. And in that tract, there were three circles that represented the three types of people. In the first circle, it had a throne, but Christ was not on the throne, and nowhere in the life of that individual. That person was lost. In the circle for spiritual, there's a throne, and Christ is on the throne. And again, representing Christ in control of the believer's life. The third circle, which represented the carnal Christian, had a throne, but Christ wasn't on the throne, but he was toward the bottom of the circle, inside the life of the Christian. And so again, they came out with this understanding or this thought that there were three types of people. Now, I don't have a problem with the first type. Christ is not in that person's life. That person is lost. That person is the natural man. We looked a little bit at that term already. The natural man, the unsaved man. It's mentioned in chapter 2 and verse 14. But I do have a problem with the last two circles, the natural and the carnal. Or I should say the spiritual and the carnal. But in the two circles out of the three, you have the carnal acting in many cases just like the natural. The only difference is Christ is supposedly in that person's life. And again, it creates this understanding that there is a state of carnality in which you live in constantly. Well, let me give you some absolutes. The absolutes are simply this: you're either filled with the Spirit or you're not. But as far as being spiritual, as a Christian, we are spiritual. We are of the Spirit. We've been born again. Maybe to look with me at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, because as we look at that, it tells us that you're either spiritual now or you're carnal now. But again, as the state that you stay in or remain as being a, quote, carnal Christian, that's not true. As I said, you can be filled with the Spirit right now, 2 minutes later, not be. It is that absolute. And so we're told, like in Ephesians 5:18, be being kept filled with the Spirit. And it's passive, which means that something else outside of you has to keep you filled with the Spirit. Something else has to happen. And basically, all you can do is get out of the way. That means you have to die to yourself. We talked a little bit about that last week. Galatians 5:16 says it just as clearly. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Can you say that again? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So what's that verse telling us in the opposite? If you're not walking by the Spirit, what are you carrying out? The works or the desires of the flesh. If you're not walking by the Spirit, you're walking by the flesh. It's one or the other. Again, carnality is not a state a Christian constantly lives in. You're either obedient to Jesus or you're not. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And sometimes you don't demonstrate that love by obeying him. Sometimes you follow after the flesh. But carnality is not a state that a Christian constantly lives in. That's just like you talk to some people that have never been to church or they haven't been to church in a long time. They claim to be a Christian, but they'll put a little term on front of that and they'll say, I'm backslidden. Well, slide forward. In fact, in Hebrews, they'd be shocked to know that there's a passage in Hebrews that says that we are not those who are of the shrinking back in the flesh to destruction. So let's call it what it is. Let's call it sin. Let's call it disobedience. Let's call it unholiness, unrighteousness. If you're not walking by the Spirit, if you're not filled with the Spirit right now, let's make it very practical. If you're not filled with the Spirit right now, you are in the flesh. Again, it's that absolute. Look at verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. They're made known, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. In other words, it's not an all-conclusive list. And he says, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, I'd be more apt to say that if the habit of your life is the works of the flesh and not the filling of the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't call you carnal, I'd call you lost. Because think about what he just said. And especially verse 21. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice. This is something that you do over and over and over and over. Yesterday the boys had a soccer game and they practiced before and they kept doing these same drills over and over and over and over. And I could ascertain from sitting there that they were soccer players because they kept doing these things over and over and over and over with a soccer ball. That told me they were soccer players. Now, if they were sitting down on the ground and not doing anything, I couldn't say that other than they looked like they were soccer players because they were dressed like it. Right? What is the habit of our life? Because here in this passage, the habit of your life must be walking by the Spirit. And I love how he uses the term walk or walking. What does that tell us? One step at a time. In order to walk, you've got to take one step, and then another step, then another step. If you don't, you're not walking, right? You might be crawling or you might be falling. But you have to take another step and another step and another step. And so it indicates lifestyle. What's your lifestyle like? Is your lifestyle that walking by the means of the Spirit, or is your lifestyle walking by the means of the flesh? See, there's no question here about a Christian being spiritual. Christians are spiritual. The question is here, is are you walking by the Spirit? Are you yielded to the Spirit of God? Are you being obedient to Jesus? Because like I said, you're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And that's why Paul uses that kind of term. When you're disobedient or when you're carnal, you can't even hear the Word of God the way you could hear it if you're filled with the Spirit. Many times it goes right over your head. You can't hear it. You can't see it. You can't understand it. Because what's taking place here is self. Selfishness. And selfishness is sin. Carnality is sin. Being fleshly is sin. So let me be bold to say this. If you're not walking by the Spirit, or if you're not filled with the Spirit right now, I already said you're in the flesh, but let me go a step further. You're in sin. If you're not filled with the Spirit right now, you're in sin. If I'm not filled with the Spirit right now, I'm in sin. And that's any time of the day. You know, get ready for church, have a rough morning. You know, you can have a rough morning and still be filled with the Spirit. You can conquer the flesh. You can bring that flesh into submission to Christ. You can yield yourself to the Spirit. But if you choose not to and you give in to the chaos, what's being demonstrated? The flesh. And if the flesh is being demonstrated, what else is being demonstrated? Sin. Unfortunately, the church has lost sight of that term, to where we're not willing to call sin by what it is. Instead, we're like the rest of the country, worrying about offending anybody. I would be more concerned about offending a holy God than offending an unholy person. God calls it sin. That's what we're to repeat. That's what we're to call it. And you know what happens when you stop calling sin sin? You start giving into it. You start becoming more desensitized. You know, television is really good about that, right? Some things maybe you didn't used to watch years ago, you watch them now because over time you've been desensitized. So look at verse 1 in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul begins here by saying, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual." Notice again what he's saying. He's talking about how he spoke to them. See, if you're not walking by the Spirit and you're filled with the self or with the flesh, then you can't hear the Word of God like you should hear it. And essentially that's what Paul's saying. They were full of self. They were full of pride. They didn't have humility, because in humility is how we receive the Word. And so therefore he couldn't talk to them as if they were humble. He couldn't talk to them as if they were spiritual. No, he had to talk to them another way. Let me show you two passages before we dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The first one's in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me have you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And notice in Ephesians chapter 4 where he says, "Therefore I," that is verse 1, "the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, I urge you, I beg you, to walk," and there's that word again, "to walk or conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." And how are we to walk? How are we to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling by which we've been called? Well, verse 2, he says, "with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, the Corinthians were not doing this. They were not walking in a manner worthy of their calling. Their lifestyle did not match their calling. They weren't walking in humility and gentleness and patience and showing tolerance for one another. Because in the passage that we're looking at, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it mentions in verse 3 that there was jealousy, there was strife. The Authorized adds divisions. So if you had those triad of sins involved in the life of a church, then guess what? There's no humility. There's no gentleness. There's no patience. There's no tolerance. There's no preserving the unity of the faith. There's no protecting of the unity of the faith. It's chaos. Another passage is found in Philippians chapter 2, just one book over. And Paul says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, He says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with what? Humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. And we can certainly say that wasn't occurring either. Because if you're running around saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, I. That's self. That's selfishness. There's a Christian music group called New Song that had a song out years ago. And it said, I, me, my, mine. Four words that spell decline. I, me, my, mine. Those four words are identifying pride. The absence of humility. And so he says here, you need to be of the same mind. You need to maintain the same love. You need to be united in spirit. You need to be intent on one purpose. You need to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit or vainglory you might have, but with humility of mind, regard one another more important than yourselves. We walk around here many times not regarding each other more important than us. We look out for number one. And really, we should be number three. Christ first, others second, self third. Right? Christ should be first. Christ should be number one. And others should be number two. Then self, number three. And listen, if you focused on the first two, then you're going to treat others as more important than yourself. Right? So again, when Paul came to Corinth, he came to them preaching the gospel, the message of the cross. He preached to them the wisdom of God, but in their sophistication and their supposed smartness, they rejected it. And they said that this is just foolishness. This is moronic. This is stupid what you're sharing with us. It makes absolutely no sense that I could have a relationship with the Creator of the universe because He sent His Son to die on the cross for my sin. And that if I repent and put my trust in Him, then I'll be forgiven. They said that message is moronic. That's not wisdom. And so they were looking for something deeper. Jews wanted signs. Greeks sought after wisdom. They wanted much more than what Paul was giving to them. In fact, they didn't even like how he looked. They didn't like how he sounded. He was contemptible. And Paul, when he came, he didn't come with all this flowery speech. He came only wanting to know among them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But you know what? Not everybody can hear that. And unfortunately, because there was factions and divisions and strife and jealousy going on, the Corinthians were having a hard time hearing God's word too, because they were following after the flesh. And so he says, here's how I spoke to you. Not as spiritual. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual. Did he say they weren't spiritual? No. He's saying he couldn't speak to them as spiritual. Because you know what? Galatians 6:1 says all Christians are spiritual. In that passage, it talks about restoring somebody who's fallen into sin. It says, you who are spiritual. But as he spoke to them, he could only speak to them as men of flesh, as to infants, as to babes in Christ. Why? Because that's the way they were acting. You want to act like a baby? I guess I have to talk to you like a baby. And that's not saying he's giving them gibberish. He's saying he's talking to them in their lack of understanding, their lack of maturity. They were acting just like babies. They had the very behavior of a baby. Verse 4 begins, I. Isn't that what a baby does? It's mine. Mine. We still do it as we get older. We just get a little bit more sophisticated with it, right? It's still mine. Well, babies act just like that. Instead of being mature in Christ, they were struggling with their flesh. They weren't walking by the Spirit. They were walking by the flesh. And listen, we all do this too. Just some of us do it more than others. Does it make it right? No. And like I said, we need to call sin for what it is. Sin is sin. And this behavior is sin. Ever in James chapter 4, James had to confront this with his readers. Listen to what he says. Verse 1, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know what he calls them? Verse 4. He didn't call them Christian. He said that kind of behavior is non-Christian. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, many times the writers of Scripture, even though they may be speaking to believers, they also extend it. Just as if we've said in here many times, Jesus said there are tares among the wheat, illustrated that there are unbelievers among believers in many churches, if not all. There's always somebody in the church who is lost. Even though they may think they're saved, and maybe they did all the things that they were told to do. But when it comes down to it, the habit of their life, the practice of their life is sin. It's not righteousness. It's not God's word. It's not God's will. It's sin. And if you're not walking by the Spirit as a Christian, then you're in sin. And guess what? An unbeliever can't walk by the Spirit. See, we need to be mature. We need to grow up in Christ. We need not to be children, as Ephesians 4:14 says, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Paul didn't want that to take place. He wanted them rooted and grounded in Scripture, rooted and grounded in their faith in Jesus Christ, so that when you hear strange doctrines, you're not moved by them, but you're able to identify them as false. And you're growing up in Christ, that He is the one you're constantly submitting to. So not only did Paul have to speak to them this way, but if you'll notice back in verse 2, he tells them what he gave them. He said, here's what I gave you. First, I gave you milk and not meat. I mean, I could just see the picture here. If they're acting like a bunch of babies, you got to give a baby milk, right? You can't take a baby and just start shoving solid food in their mouth, especially if they don't have any teeth. They can't chew up meat. They can't. You can't go, here, chew on this. You give it to them, be like beef jerky, right? They can't chew on that stuff. It's too much for them. So they have to have milk. And so he says in verse 2, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. And you know, all the Bible is either milk or meat. It depends on how deep you go. You know, we could read John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then we could say, God loves the world. That's milk. But if we get a little deeper with it and we start defining this kind of love, this agape love that God has toward unfallen, unredeemed man, now we're starting to get into the meat of it. Let me ask you a question. As we were going through a series with R.C. Sproul, we were introduced to terms Augustinianism, predestination, election. Weren't we talking about meat? Some of you never even heard of that. Heard some of those terms, and you started getting into it, and you're going, wait a minute. I got to put my head around this. And in some cases, you were wanting milk, because you could get your head around that. But here was something a little deeper than you're used to going. Same is true. As you study the Bible, it's just like that. Let me have you to look at Hebrews chapter 5. The writer of Hebrews makes this very insightful statement in verse 12. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a what? An infant, a baby. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. See, the difference between milk and meat, again, has to do with how deep you go, and also has to go with the application of the word in your life. Listen, if you are practicing the meat of the word, you're growing, you're becoming mature, and your senses are being trained to discern between good and evil. But unfortunately, those who have been in the church for a long time that should be eating on the meat of the word are still drinking the milk. Why is that? Well, we could go back to our passage here and give us a reason why. Maybe there's sin. Maybe it's your life is many times fleshly. You have more fleshly experiences than you have spiritual, spirit-given experiences or spirit-led experiences. But he tells them that they were still fleshly, verse 3. And he tells them at the end of verse 2 that he gave them milk and wise because they weren't able to receive it. And indeed, even now they're not able. So you couldn't receive it then and you can't receive it now. You're not able. And the word able is an imperfect verb. And an imperfect verb is talking about a continuous action in the past. So at some point in the past, when they yielded to the flesh, they kept yielding. And even today, they were yielding. He uses a middle voice. It could be either middle or a passive. But the middle voice seems to fit this, where the subject is affected by its own action. The subject is affected by its own action. They were carnal because of their actions. They were fleshly because of their actions. And because of this, all they could receive was milk. In many cases, they couldn't even receive that because the flesh got in the way. And he says that in verse 3. You are still fleshly. And he says that in the present tense. Present tense is a continuous tense. They are continuously fleshly. So, I wouldn't run around priding myself on being carnal. I'm a carnal Christian. You know what? Because it's very likely you could be lost. The only thing that Campus Crusade could get right with the natural man and the carnal man is that they look alike. Except for the carnal man, they say Christ is in the life and not on the throne. Well, if you're a Christian, Jesus is always in the throne. He's always on the throne in your life. Whether you walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh has to be determined. Notice the problem now. As you get there to verse 3, he mentions three things, three problems. The first problem was there's jealousy. You may have envying in your text. And according to Romans, this is not proper behavior. It says in Romans 13, in verse 13, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. What are the two that he mentions? Strife and jealousy. This is not proper behavior. So if you're envying somebody, that's sin. You have contention with somebody, that's sin. And that's not proper. He tells us in verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. That's what you need to recognize. You're not walking by the power of the Spirit, not walking by the means of the Spirit. Remember, one step at a time. Paul cautioned about this behavior in 2 Corinthians 12:20. He told them that this is something that shouldn't exist among them. This idea of jealousy, of course, is a greedy, prideful longing for something that belongs to somebody else. Maybe somebody came in the fellowship and they said, you know what? Paul saved. You know, had a lot to do with my salvation. And I'm going to say, I'm a Paul. Somebody else comes in. Well, if you're going to say that, I'm a Peter. And Peter was around a lot longer than Paul. Then another person comes around and says, I got you both beat. I'm a Christ. And you can just see the halo over their head. Ooh, you know. That they're more spiritual than everybody else because they name Jesus. And Paul says, you're acting like a bunch of fools. All of you are. Because you have this envying going on. And, you know, we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are to lay aside this kind of behavior. Listen to what it says. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. What's he saying to do with it? Put it aside. And like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. What you should be doing is longing for God's Word. Instead, you've got these attitudes going on, these behaviors taking place. He mentions, too, that there's strife. This is contention. This is a bitter disagreement between conflicting facts or claims or opinions. And again, what did he say? This is also improper. He mentions that in Romans 13:13. These attitudes are nothing more than what describes the world. This is how they live. And so, listen, if you're living your life in such a way that mimics the world, then you better pay attention. You got a major, major problem here. It says in Romans 1:29, after God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, he says, they were filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. So he puts in that list envy. He puts in that list contention, strife. He includes that as part of the fallen human race. All these attitudes describe, as I said, is the work of the flesh. They are listed in Galatians 5 that we read a few moments ago. So, he says, the problem, there's jealousy, there's strife. And though this is not mentioned in the New American Standard Bible, but it is mentioned in the King James that you have, there are divisions. And I think maybe it's not mentioned. One of the reasons is because jealousy and strife produce divisions. But there are divisions. And in all three cases, they were walking like mere men. Again, present, active, indicative means that they were continuing to conduct their life this way. This is how they were continuing to act. And so Paul is saying, when one says, I'm a Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not mere men? Look at the way you're acting. I can't talk to you as spiritual people because you're not acting like spiritual people. You're acting like babies. And what do babies need sometime? A spanking. And he's giving them a spanking with what he's saying. He's rebuking them for their behavior. He's rebuking them for their divisions. They're dividing the fellowship. Because they got these cliques. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. You're all a bunch of fools. Because what you're doing is dividing the fellowship, and God hates division. You read that in Proverbs 6. God hates one who sows discord among the brethren. He doesn't want us to live this way. He doesn't want us to live according to the flesh. You will struggle with the flesh being in Christ, but He doesn't want you to constantly live in the flesh. He wants you to walk by the Spirit. That's why Ephesians 5:18, be being kept filled with the Spirit. Die to yourself. Quit being selfish. Treat others as more important than yourselves. And I know when it's going on, it's hard to do. But it must be done. And so there's some principles I believe that we can take away from this. Let me give you four of them. Four principles that I gathered from this. First one, you're spiritual if you're a Christian. You're spiritual if you're a Christian. No doubt about it. Might not be able to be talked to that way because of sin in your life. But the goal is to talk to you that way. To talk to you as one who is spiritual, one who has been born again, one who is walking in the Spirit. Second principle, carnality is not another category of a Christian. Carnality is a sin. You are either carnal or Spirit-filled. It's one or the other. And number three, even though you are spiritual, you cannot always receive what is spiritual when you're carnal. When you're fleshly, you can't always hear the truth, even though you need to be told the truth. And then last, the best one, when you're carnal, you're acting like a baby. And you need to be spanked by God's Word. Survey your life. You know, there's a wonderful opportunity right here in this passage to determine whether you really are a Christian, whether you really are a follower of Jesus Christ. Because if the bulk of your life, the habit of your life, the majority of your life is the flesh, then you have every reason to question the genuineness of your faith. Are you always walking in the flesh? Because in the flesh, we can't please God. In the flesh, you can't put to death the deeds of the body. In the flesh, you can't conquer sin. In the flesh, you can't overcome negative thoughts or impure thoughts. But in the Spirit, you can. In the Spirit, you can obey Jesus. In the Spirit, you can praise Jesus when you're going through your problems. In the Spirit, you can have joy. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, and so forth. So if you're here today and you're wrestling with this, just get on your knees before God. Evaluate your understanding. Evaluate your life right now. Evaluate whether you really are in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. And it's not hard to do. You walk around mad, walk around angry, walk around yelling at people, walk around discouraged. If you have hate in your heart, what are all those things? Those are deeds of the flesh, right? Go back to our list there in Galatians 5. If you're being selfish and you're not putting others before yourselves, then you're in the flesh. He says the deeds of the flesh are evident. They're made known. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. And now compare yourself to the fruit of the Spirit. He contrasts it, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So again, survey your life. Father, we thank you so much for this privilege and time that we've had in the Word this morning, and we pray that the Spirit of God would help us to survey our lives right now. Help us to evaluate where we truly are. Have we truly repented of our sin? Have we truly given our lives to you? Are we truly living for you today and every day? Are we filled with the Spirit right now? Are we filled with the flesh? Help us to evaluate right now what is going on in our lives. Help us to obey the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.